Looking through the new anniversary issue of the Tucson Weekly is sure to stir up memories for anyone who's lived here in the last 25 years. Seeing old cover stories can remind you of where you were when you first read them, and maybe what meal or movie you were waiting for at the time. The Tucson Weekly, to both the pleasure and the outrage of its many readers, has been a part of our community for 25 years now. I asked the Weekly's senior writer, Jim Nitzel, if he expected to get this far.
No, I think probably very few people expected the Tucson Weekly to survive 25 years. And our founding father, Doug Biggers, actually has a pretty funny story about that. In this issue, he talks about how the first year of publication, it was a kind of a miracle. The company that was printing the weekly sort of forgot to bill us for all the print jobs. And so every week we just send it over, they'd print it, and then no invoice would arrive. And so we just kept going for a full year. And then after that, I think they caught on. And there were some negotiations, some lawyers involved. And I don't know how things were exactly settled, but here we are 25 years later. So thank you, printing company.
A lot of cities around the country have their own weekly magazines. Is there some connection going on? Is there some kind of franchise, or are all of these publications springing up individually?
Well, what happened, I think, a lot of them are now part of what is called the Village Voice chain that's basically run out of Phoenix, right up the road from us, up at the New Times headquarters up there. And that was one of the grandpappies of the alternative press. And Weekly came along in 1984, was actually inspired. Doug Biggers was inspired by what they were doing up in Phoenix with the Phoenix New Times. And he got the timing just about right. It was right around then that these weeklies really started exploding across the country. And actually, the desktop publishing revolution came along in the early 90s that made it really possible for us to do some amazing things with graphics and layouts and things of that nature. And I think it really helped the industry at that point. And here we are today.
Well, how does the future of the newspaper industry, as black as it may seem, how does that future reflect on the weekly?
Well, I think the weekly is pretty well positioned because of our basic nature of being a free paper that people can pick up and turn to for the collection of listings for the movie times, for the events, and then hopefully hard-hitting journalism as well.
What kind of things do you hear about from the public when they get a chance to get your ear?
Well, they certainly seem to enjoy our swimsuit issue cover last week. But, you know, it always varies. There are people who will absolutely love the weekly, and there are people who will say, oh, I can't stand that terrible rag. And I like to hear all of it. I just always enjoy hearing whatever feedback people give us. And I think there's so much different stuff inside the pages of the Tucson Weekly. You know, there's not only the news and the skinny and the stuff that I do, but there's the wonderful arts coverage by Margaret Regan and James Reel. There's the great movie reviews by James D.G. Giovanna. There's a great music coverage by Steven Siegel and his crew in the music part of it. And then, of course, the back of the book where people can find love or something. And, of course, the Dan Savage column. So there's a wide range of stuff and a great mix for people out there in the Tucson Weekly.
Which regular feature of the weekly causes the most controversy for you?
I would say probably we get the most mail from Tom Danahy's column every week. He seems to really stir people up.
When you look back over your career at the Weekly, what are some of the projects you were involved in that you're most proud of?
Well, I've always enjoyed being able to go out and speak with the folks who are running for office. It's always an exciting thing for me to talk to the folks in the governor's race or the mayoral race or the congressional races. And really, the opportunity to work with such an amazing array of people through the years at the Tucson Weekly. I grew up, you know, delivering the Tucson Citizen, seeing bylines in there that eventually I'd have a chance to actually sit down and work with in various capacities at the Tucson Weekly or here at KUAT. And that's always been a thrill. Amazing number of artists and writers who have passed through our doors. It's been a real honor to work with them. And then just the folks you go out and talk to and work on stories with, you really learn a lot about the community.
The 25th anniversary issue is out this week. What can readers expect to find?
Well, it's really an amazing package that Jimmy Bogle, our editor, has assembled here. We've got a timeline that covers the history of the weekly from 1984 to the present with a collection of covers that hopefully represent both what the weekly was doing and what the community was going through at the time. Linda Ray has put together a really nice collection of fun facts about what was happening on that day. Tim Vanderpool takes a look back at the environmental struggles the community has gone through over the last 25 years. Tim Hull looks ahead, talks to people in the community of what they expect to see 25 years from now. Steven Siegel and Gene Armstrong, two guys who know a lot about music in this town, talk about what the last quarter century has been like with the music scene. Douglas Biggers reflects on what it was like to found the Tucson Weekly and the challenges that lay ahead in today's media world. I think we've got Tom Danahy looking back at the history of the Weekly itself. There's a lot in there for folks who want to take a look back and remember what the last quarter century has been like in this town.
Do you have a picture in your mind of the Tucson Weekly's demographic?
I think it's really amazingly wide-ranging. We have a lot of younger readers, but as you'd expect in a community like this, we also have a surprising number of older readers. You know, when they've done surveys, our readership is always skewed a little bit older. I remember the guys who did the old Looney Tunes cartoons once were asked what their audience was, and they said, well, it's us. We're just doing what we want to do, and we hope people like it. And I think that's what we've done at the Tucson Weekly, kind of put out the newspaper we want to see, and it's struck a chord.
Jim, are you prepared to reveal any of the secrets behind Dr. Knowledge?
You know, we've been sworn to secrecy about Dr. Knowledge, and he's been away from our pages for a while now. But I am hopeful that he can make a return here as we move forward into the new electronic age.
Well, Jim, let me give you some congratulations on 25 years of great work at The Weekly, and here's to 25 more.
All right. Thank you very much.